Morning, everyone. Good stand, and please turn to hymn number 123 when we all get to heaven. Heads. Lord, thank you for letting us be here today and be with those that weren't able here to be here and just be with our nation and just open our hearts and minds and settle our minds to worship you today. In your heavenly name, amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Center on this weird Sunday. But what better place to be in a time of prayer, a time of concern, a time of worry. What better place to be than God's house? So I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you came out and you are here to celebrate His presence in our life and worship Him today. And we are in a constant state of prayer this morning. We're going to be in prayer for our country. We're going to be in prayer for our friends, our neighbors, our government. We're going to be in prayer for the world today. We have a lot to be thankful for, and we have a lot to ask God for his protection over. So this morning, are there any announcements that we need to cover? I will go over just a couple. The senior meal has been canceled along with the country breakfast as a precautionary measure. And also monthly meeting is canceled. Is that correct, Clerk?
We'll take up our business next month. If anything comes up, we'll handle it between now and then with a special call session.
All right. There was nothing pressing on the agenda that appeared, so monthly meeting has been canceled till next month. David?
Christian Man has a project that we're going to undertake this year, and if you read the newsletter, it's noted in the newsletter, and we're actually going to take up a different item each month, starting this month in March, with Kent, green beans. So, and then hopefully we have a whole shopping cart, our whole box full of stuff that's sent to different families at Thanksgiving time. So we're going to have different items each month that we're going to collect and then have them out to needy families for Thanksgiving.
And if you'll note in your bulletin, that's the thankful harvest item. That will be in the bulletin, kind of notating what item that will be for each month. And this month is at least one can of green beans. So during the month of March, yeah. Also, I'll let you know there's no children's moments this morning. I received some information that many of our little people are battling the normal seasonal stuff, and so we wanted to make sure we facilitated their health and that sort of thing, so there'll be no children's moments this morning. But be in prayer for our little people as they're dealing with strep and the flu and different things like that. That would be the normal course of business for our young friends. Are there any other announcements? If not, I will move past our offerings. I mentioned over the phone call and over the Facebook page that we will be accepting offerings at the end of worship. Again, this is just another precautionary measure that we're not passing a plate between hands, that we are maintaining somewhat of a social distance from each other to help prevent any kind of spread of any germs and that sort of thing. So we will be collecting the offering. There'll be ushers at both the door here and the door at the fellowship hall for you to drop your offering as you leave worship this morning. I'll move right into prayer requests and praises. So as always, who saw God this week? Who is still seeing God this week? I'm looking at God right now. I see God because people came to church this morning. All right, we have ways of reaching out to our friends who may be shut in, who may not feel comfortable coming out, or maybe battling whatever illnesses. And so I'm thankful for Paul this morning. He set up a way that we can reach others. While I told him I wasn't sure how comfortable I was being in front of a camera, I assured myself, I said, you know what, I'm being selfish. So hello, friends, if you're watching from wherever you are, welcome to Center. This is our first live stream, and it may be the first of many, depending on how technology works. God gives us those abilities to reach any and everybody in the name of his son Jesus. So anybody want to share their God moments? No praises? Yeah, we do lift up the Mitchell family, the Knight family, at the loss of Wayne. But having been to the funeral home and seeing everybody there and the outpouring of support for the family, those that I got to even joke and cut up with a little bit that were in his family, he apparently had an impact on a lot of folks, and he knew his Jesus. So that's the most important thing. So I'm blessed to have been part of that and being able to at least learn a little bit, just a fraction of what Wayne meant to your family. So that is a praise, and that is a prayer request. Any other praises? Congratulations on that, Keith. We'll continue praying for you. So that you have survived this long. You've done well. And pray for Peggy, yeah. Any other praises? What prayer requests? I received a call from Jay and Bonnie Kirkman at the loss of one of Jay's father's second cousin. They just asked to be in prayer for her. She passed away. She was 99 years old, and Jay just asked that we remember them. Also remember Jay and Bonnie. Bonnie has dialysis and cannot be around social circles right now. The doctor has told her to stay away from public places and that sort of thing, so we want to make sure that she stays protected as well. Are there any other prayer requests? Do you know when she is scheduled to return?
Tuesday.
Definitely want to pray for Jamie Robinette Horner and pray for DJ too, her husband, especially if she has to do the 14-day quarantine. Yep. Of course, we know we need to pray for our country. We know we need to pray for each and every person in our world that's suffering either by illness or by panic of illness. You know, what we see, people fear what we can't see. You can't see germs. You can't see the flu virus. You can't see a cold. But we don't fear those things because we're used to them. It's the new things that we fear. And you'll hear a little bit later on, faith over fear. All right? A healthy amount of concern is okay. Being vigilant and being mindful of those around you and being supportive of those who may have a compromised immune systems and those sorts of things and washing your hands and doing all the things that we should have been doing anyway, those are okay. But pray for those who are suffering from the anxiety of what they can't see. We came out today. We came out to pray. We came out to sing. We came out to worship. But there are those who are scared to death. And we want to pray for them. We want to pray for God's peace over them. Pray for our nation. It is a national day of prayer. We pray for our government and the leaders that make sound decisions and they seek God's wisdom in doing that. We've got a lot to be thankful for. We are a blessed people of God. But we've got a lot to pray for too. Yeah, Cole, so thank you, Paul. Cole fell off his bike, and he is on his way to maybe get some stitches. So pray for him. Pray for Brandy and Nick and Malia. That she is having to deal with her little brother, but we want to pray for Cole. He is all boy. There's no doubt about that. So stitches are just going to be a part of his life when he falls off his bicycle. So we want to pray for him. Any others?
And it's also the disorder, she's not doing well, so we just need to
Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you on a weird day. We come to you in a weird state of our world, an odd kind of situation. But Lord, we come to you as a gathered body of believers. We come to you in faith. We come to you in a belief that you are present with us. And we are so thankful for that. We come to worship you, Lord. We hope that the service, that our hearts, that our minds, our actions are all pleasing to you, and that you will be exalted, your name will be lifted up in such a way that others will seek you, others will find you, and others will love you. Lord, we know that today is the National Day of Prayer. Our governmental leaders have declared that, Lord, and we say every day is a day of prayer. I thank you for the God moments. I thank you for showing us that you're still in control through something as simple as the weather, showing us your sunshine and your breeze, the blooms on the flowers, showing us that no matter what, this is your world, and we are blessed to be a part of it. Father, you've heard the prayer requests from those that are overseas and traveling home to the loss of a dear servant of yours, to those who are battling sicknesses. I ask that you place them in the palm of your hand, you touch them in a special way, and you cover them with your grace and your healing. You give those that have experienced loss laughter in the memories. You give them tears in the stories. But that as time goes on, you slowly heal their hearts so they can cherish the moments they have had with their loved ones. Lord, those that are sick, I ask that you give them healing. You touch their bodies. You protect them from whatever things we cannot see. You give them strength. Lord, I pray for the world today. I pray for all that is going on in our world, all the world leaders, our country's leaders, Lord. Give them sound decision-making. Let you, Lord, place yourself in their decision-making process. Open their hearts and their eyes to see that they need to seek you and your will in all that they do. Lord, I thank you for this gathering of believers. I thank you that we can support each other. Even in social distancing, we can still love one another. Guide our hearts, guide our feet, guide our actions to serving our neighbor. We love you, we love one another. Give us the task that you want us to do. Give us the strength to do it, the courage to answer the call. Give us the protection to share the message of your love and your grace. I thank you and we love you. In Jesus' holy name we all pray. Amen.
Softly and tenderly.
So if you read the church sign on the way in, you kind of got an idea of what we're going to talk about this morning. I simply put out there, Psalm 91, look it up. And it's a pretty straightforward message. And I did that for the benefit of those riding by. Not so much for the benefit of folks here, but for those that may have that sense of panic in their hearts. And I kept getting drawn to this over this week. And as you know, last week I was away and I got some time alone and got to see God's creation through an ocean and allow some of those troubles to just float on out there. And it was wonderful. And I appreciate you allowing me to be away. But then the situation of the coronavirus came up. And I really got to thinking about how that virus has affected society. And I'm sure there's churches all over the country, all over the world, talking about this pandemic and this big issue that is on the news. And I'll tell you that Whitney and I went to the grocery store yesterday to buy some normal things, like I needed bread for my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I needed some peanut butter, only to find that my peanut butter was sold out. But we were walking into the grocery store, and you see all these people, and they're coming into the parking lot, and they're getting out. And I started laughing, and this is just how cynical I can be sometimes. And I looked at Whitney, and I said, I wonder if I took off running towards the door, would other people start running? And see, y'all understand, you're laughing. So it makes you kind of wonder, like, if I just took off running toward them and started running towards the toilet paper aisle or towards the bread aisle, would people start just instinctively fighting? And then I got to thinking about the actions of others. The actions that we have affect others. And so I started looking and thinking about the human responses, and I said, you know, I really could, like, go get my beach chair and sit outside in front of the grocery store and just watch people. When we walked in, we saw a lady who had bought an entire flat of ramen noodles. And I looked at Whitney as she's pushing the grocery cart like this. I looked at her and I said, really? And she looked at me and she said, okay. And you saw people with lots of stuff. I hope that if it gets bad enough, I don't have to survive on ramen noodles. I'm sorry, I can't eat those things. But anyway, but I saw people with flats of ramen noodles, and they were there with their kids, and then they were buying water and drinks and all these different things. And human responses are so different in times of unknown. They're so different in times of unknown. And so I got to thinking about it late last night, and I broke down the human responses into three different kinds of things during this emergency. And the first one, I said, they're the indifference. The indifference. That's a group of people, and they're not concerned at all. And I may be very well talking about you or myself, but the indifference, they're not concerned at all. They're not worried. There's no real cause for alarm. They're not even preparing for anything. And they're almost joking at those who are taking it a little bit more serious. And this could be for anything. I'm not just talking about this coronavirus. I'm talking about for winter storms. I'm talking about for natural disasters. I'm talking about for Y2K. I'm talking about the people that, it's whatever, it'll be fine, whatever happens, happens. Real lackadaisical, you know, whatever, the indifference. And then there's the I'm goods. The I'm goods are concerned enough to stay up to date with verified information. They're concerned enough to say, all right, I'm going to look at the verified stuff. For this, the CDC, and see what they have. And I'm going to look at stuff that makes sense, not that makes panic. I'm going to buy some supplies, like bread and peanut butter. Maybe a little extra food, just in case something would get stuck at home for a couple of days, or I have to quarantine for 14 days. I want to make sure I have enough food. I'm going to look and see how best to provide for my children if now that schools are closed. I'm going to maybe buy some extra books, maybe some coloring books for my little ones, or some educational things for my older ones to keep them engaged. I'm going to come up with an idea of how to continue their learning. I may not be the teacher, but I can maybe help as the parent continue that learning. Those are the I'm goods. I'm good. I'm going to look for ways of trying to stay safe and maybe look for ways of trying to help. I'm good. And then there's the freaking outs. Y'all know who I'm talking about, because you know at least one person who's a freaking out. And they're posting unverified information. They're buying into conspiracy theories. They're from the government released something to this is the apocalypse, to aliens from Mars have done this to us. They're buying into unverified information. They're spreading false information. They're creating and continuing the panic. They're the freaking outs, the mass hysterias. And they're buying all the toilet paper in the grocery store. Now, I have asked this for 5 days. I don't get it. Bread and milk go first thing in the snowstorm, but nobody ever thinks about toilet paper. I saw something the other day that said, if there was a stomach virus that magically hit, would we all buy nasal spray? You know, and just the complete opposite of what was going on now. But stocking up on cases of ramen noodles and buying all these things, the freaking outs. Each person has a different response to a different crisis. And crises could be from anything from the weather changing, a cold can be a crisis to some people. Allergies are a crisis to me because I've never had them before and now all of a sudden I've got them. Death in families, car crashes, something even more severe, house fires, structural issues with their houses, a loss of a job, going hungry, being homeless, to a pandemic of something we can't see. Crises are different, and they affect different people, and different people score them in different severities. What I may think is here, a freaking out may think it's here. Most people fit in one of those three categories I just mentioned. Each and every time there's some sort of issue or event, from our winter snows to power outages in the summer. You know, sometimes the power will go out because someone hit a telephone pole, and that can freak people out. People sometimes have an inability to cope with situations that come up, with sudden changes, undesirable changes. When things happen, the people's ability to cope change, or it just goes completely away. But people can also be split into those same sections in their spiritual life. The indifference. Those are the I don't cares, the unsaved. The ones who either choose not to believe in Jesus Christ or those who don't know to believe in Jesus Christ. Those are the indifference. They may not give Jesus a second thought in something like this. They may not think about their own mortality or their immortality after death. They may not think about the need for a Savior. They may not acknowledge the fact that there is one. Or they may not know that there is one. They may not have a clue. They make no preparations should the life happen. There's no plan for a future after this life. They mock those who may be taking the necessary precautions. They're the indifference. Then you got the freaking outs. Again, you know who I'm talking about. That they think every storm each week is the apocalypse. That Jesus is coming. But guess what? Mark 13 says, but about that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven. But you can predict it all you want to, and you'll still be wrong. Those are the freaking outs. We have friends that the world's coming to an end. This is the sign of end times. They've been saying it for the last 40 years. This is the sign of the end times. And then their life ends, and it's still the life of the end, it's still the end times. Those are the freaking outs. But they look at other in judgment. Sometimes those that take it to the far extreme judge those who are either in the middle or at the beginning of their journey in their spiritual life. They crucify people in their sins instead of loving them. Those are the freaking outs. And then there's the rest. Those are God's people. That is His church. We're concerned enough to get verified information in the Word of God. We're concerned enough to get verified information. We pray on a consistent basis. We stay in communication with the one leader that makes all the decisions. We make sure that our supply of prayers is full, that we're praying not just for ourselves, but we're praying for our neighbors. We're praying for the freaking outs. We're praying for the indifference. We identify those who need that promise of God and they may not understand it, and so we become the people to share that to the ones who do not know. We look for ways to share the gospel. We share the peace because the ones that are freaking out may need to be recentered. The ones who don't care may need to be refocused. We've taken the necessary precautions as the church. We're ready for what will happen. Because God says, I am with you always. Stuff is going to happen in our faith journey. Crises are going to happen in our faith journey. But as God's people, we're prepared because we have verified information. We have a leader that makes all the decisions and that protects us. But how do we know that? How do we know that we can be confident and have the assurance of God? Well, I chose Psalm 91 as that very passage. And so I've got a couple different versions. I'm going to read the NIV version, and then later on I'm going to read the New Living Translation that is absolutely beautiful. The Psalm 91, if you want to follow along, says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." To me, that is one of the most beautiful psalms ever written. It covers everything. It covers evil. It covers disease. It covers storms. It covers wars. It covers everything that we could possibly have to face in this life. And so I want you to break that down. We're going to break that psalm down in a couple of sections. And so verses 1 and 2, I've kind of labeled as the assurance of God's protection. The assurance of God's protection. As he says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress." As a believer, that is the assurance in God. Verses 3 and 4, this is how God will bring His protection. He will rescue you from every trap. He will protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers like a mother bird protects her young, and shelter you with His wings. His promises are your armor and your protection. Verses 5 and 6, this is the result of God's protection and care. Because I believe and God protects, I do not have to be afraid of the terrors at night or the arrows that fly by day. I don't have to dread the disease that stalks in the darkness or the disaster that strikes each day. That is the result of God's protection. Then verses 7 and 8 are the assurance, yet another assurance for the believer. Despite what we see around us, we can be assured in God. Though people may fall at our side by the numbers,